Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Dom time. Welcome in, everyone. The breaking news, other than the financial part, the health part of this today, the big story, I think, is suddenly, let's say from yesterday into today, more of the public health officials talking about younger people contracting the virus. There's also a couple stories out there about even after they beat the virus, if you will, lung damage left behind. Joining us to talk about all aspects of the medical part of this in our line of great doctors, we're blessed to be in Philadelphia. I've had him on, honored over the years many times. Dr. Paul Offit is the chief of the Division of Infectious Diseases at the world famous Children's Hospital of Philadelphia with us on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Dr. Paul, good to have you on again. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Dom.
Well, this seems relatively sudden, but we know it. You know, people like you and others have been tracking this all along. And I saw some statistics today indicating 20% of the people were relatively young, 38% going up to the age of 54. Are you hearing the same things?
Well, again, I mean, I think what we know about this virus, this novel coronavirus, is that most of the people who die from this virus are greater than 70 years of age and have other health problems. Young people generally are protected against this virus. I mean, I think in that outbreak in China, which caused 90,000 cases and 3,000 deaths, I think there was one person at 10 years of age who succumbed to that virus.
Right.
So, again, I mean, just to put it in perspective, this year in the United States, about 144 children have died of influenza. None have died from this novel coronavirus. So, again, I really don't think parents should be scared that this particular virus is going to hurt an otherwise healthy child.
But I'm talking about people that are young adults, 20 in their 30s and all that. Is this not a cautionary tale when you hear about the residual lung damage?
Yeah, we certainly have seen it in people. And again, first of all, you know, that when for example, you have a pneumonia, and, you know, although you'll be better in a week or so, your chest x-ray will be abnormal for several months. So, again, I think let's see what happens over time. The lung does have a remarkable capacity to regenerate itself, and we'll see whether or not how long that permanent damage is. We're still learning about this virus, which is relatively new. And certainly healthcare workers who work in a hospital and are going to be exposed to sort of a both larger quantity of virus when they get up close to the person who they're taking care of and more people who are infected with this virus, I think they are also at risk, which is why they need to wear those N95 respirators to protect themselves.
Now, I would think they were wearing them at Penn, Doc, but Penn Medicine today reporting several cases. I don't have an exact number, and that's a widespread network of doctors and all that with Penn, but they say several people have contracted it at Penn Medicine.
Right. I mean, that's the downside of being a healthcare worker. You are going to catch some of the things that you're coming in contact with, no matter how careful you are sometimes. But sure. But again, I do want to emphasize the point that, because I think we've managed to scare the hell out of people in this country about this virus, that those who are most likely to succumb
right.
are those who are over 70 with comorbidities.
I'm interested, the vibe I'm getting from you today versus some that we bring on. You know, it's nuanced. We had on someone the other day. They were a little bit more, we haven't scared people enough. We haven't been vigilant enough. What's the biggest concern then you have at this point?
That we scared people too much. I mean,
okay.
I think what's happened is that the public health community has dictated how we're dealing with this in our country. And there will be another side to this. I mean, we have changed the way that we're living. You know, you looked at, I think, the Marriott Corporation furlough tens of thousands of people today. I mean, there's a lot of people who are going to lose their jobs. There are a lot of businesses who are going to go under, and the attendant consequences that come with that kind of massive financial crisis, like homelessness or drug abuse or domestic violence or anxiety-related health disorders or suicide. I there will be another side to this, and I just think that we could in some ways be a little more surgical about the way that we're dealing with it. Singapore, for example, never closed its schools and was one of the best among the Southeast Asian countries to, you know, really get on top of this virus. So I'm just worrying that we in some ways may be doing some harm that we're not talking about.
I'm thrilled to have you on because, you know, I don't want to be that guy saying, don't worry, don't panic and all that as much. And hearing it from you, that's really interesting. So, Dr. Paul Offit, you wouldn't close schools down then?
No, I wouldn't have, no. And nor is it the CDC recommendation to close schools. That's just, I think, as part of this evolving panic, you know, it's just, we've closed down everything. I mean, it's amazing to me somebody can come on your show and say we need to scare people more. My goodness. I mean, I walked into the grocery store the other day, you know, and there was a woman who was maybe in her early 70s, and she was shaking. I went up to her. I said, you know, are you okay? She said she lived alone. She didn't have anybody to shop for. I mean, I really think she thought that trip to the grocery store was going to kill her. We've scared people. That's not the problem.
The social distancing, though, are you on board with that?
Yeah, to an extent, yes. Yeah. I certainly think as someone who's older, especially older with health problems, should just stay inside for the next few weeks till this settles down. I think anybody who's sick with a respiratory infection, including a mild infection, should stay home, and those family members should also stay home during that period of time. And then I think a lot of hand washing, sort of cleaning services, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think we're going to look back on this, and we're going to see that there were districts or regions or states or countries that did things differently, and we'll see what we really needed to do and what we didn't need to do. What we're doing is completely shutting down our way of life, and I think in some ways there's probably a more nuanced way to do this that can still be moral and ethical.
What is the difference at Children's Hospital? Because if Children's Hospital is doing it, I, as a layman, I support it. You know, nobody better.
Yeah, well, we're fortunate to have people like Julia Sammons, who is sort of a head of infection control. And I think we're very good about informing the healthcare workers what to do. We basically laid off non-essential personnel, not laid off. We've asked them not to come in to work. And so that we can limit the amount of spread that could occur in the hospital, because, you know, as you know, we're responsible for a group of vulnerable hospitalized children, and we want to make sure that we don't, you know, bring that virus, that we don't spread it as healthcare workers from one person to the next, and that we limit the number of people who we're coming in contact with, you know, that are our employees.
Well, I just wanted to say here, though, every time I have you on, I want to say it. My wife wants me to say it, and I want to say it anyhow. My son was in there. I think I told you this at 18 months, you know, who's brilliant in math now, with encephalitis and what went through it. So I saw it up close. And I just thank God that this hospital is here. It's a point of pride with me. And I know it must be with you and everybody that works there. For my money, it's the best in the world. And that's hard to say. It is just an amazing institution.
I agree with you. I think it's the best children's hospital in the world. And it's a pleasure to work there.
Absolutely. Well, in your other hat, too, we're talking about vaccines coming down the road from this. Do you have any sense, any of your contacts of that? And is that, I guess the word is necessary, ultimately, given the sort of the tone you've taken today?
Well, sure. I mean, if we had a safe and effective vaccine, I think it would be of value. Remember, okay, we've just recently learned about this virus, and there's no other coronavirus-like vaccine out there, so there's no platform in which to build this vaccine. There's a vaccine that's currently being tested, made by a company called Moderna, which is a so-called mRNA or messenger RNA vaccine. And the way that works is that you take this so-called messenger RNA, which then is injected into the muscle, and then it ultimately then is translated to a protein, the protein that typically sits on the surface of this coronavirus, and then you make an immune response, an antibody response to that protein. And then that, in theory, keeps the virus from ever binding to cells and causing an infection. My only concern here is that we rush this. I don't think we should ever rush a vaccine into production, because you want to make sure it's safe, especially remembering that most people who are going to get this vaccine aren't going to die from this disease. I mean, healthy young people, for the most part, are not going to die from this disease. So therefore, you want to make sure you hold it to a very high standard of safety, that you do animal model testing, that you do so-called phase 1 and phase 2 safety and immunogenicity testing. I mean, when when Donald Trump, you know, gets on air and talks about that he's proud that this could be done in 2 months and that this would be the fastest vaccine ever made and, you know, under any presidency, I don't think that's something to brag about. You want to make sure that you've done proper testing before you put it into people. Remember, most of the people you put it into were not going to be killed by this virus, so you want to make sure that it's absolutely safe as possible.
Absolutely. Doctor, it's always an honor. Thank you so much, Dr. Paul Offit. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Dom.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.